You're listening to a message from Victory Dumaguete. Jesus interprets the law against adultery. Learn more about fidelity and marriage in week 5 of our series, Redefined.
Good morning. Can you give your seatmate a high five for a while? Tell your seatmate, I'm so glad I am here today. We are down to the 5th installment of our series called Redefined. We've been looking into the book of Matthew, specifically chapters 5, 6, and 7. We're looking at the Sermon on the Mount. And when we started off this series, we started talking about the Sermon on the Mount. We said that the Sermon on the Mount is probably the most powerful or most famous sermon that has ever been delivered in this world. We started this off by talking about the Beatitudes, if you can remember. Now, if you're here and you've joined us for the first time, we'd like to request from you to visit our website. Listen to the podcast. Why? Because one installment builds on the first one or builds on the other. So it would be best for us to be on the same page because this is a 16-week series that's going to last up until the end of October. So this is pretty exciting. I believe that we're going to learn so many things from this one. Whom I can honestly say that you're learning a lot of things so far in this series called Redefined. So next time you read the book of Matthew, specifically those chapters, you're not going to read it the same way. You're going to have a perspective based on what we have been talking about here. We've talked about the Christian's influence, salt and light, on the second week. And if you can remember, Tom preached about Jesus and the law. And last week, we've talked about murder and anger. We said that if we are angry with our brother, it basically falls in the same category as murder in the eyes of the Lord Jesus Christ. So today, we're going to have the 5th one, and this is pretty interesting. Now, let me just say this as early as now. The things that we're going to talk about here today, specifically this morning, will make you or all of us uncomfortable. So I have to say it with a smile. This is a difficult topic to talk about. If you've been with us for, let's say, a couple of years now, you know for a fact that I have preached extensively on this topic. This is not a repeat of past preachings, but I feel like this is something that we have to keep talking about. Whenever this issue comes up, sometimes as Christians, we put a blind ear into it. But I feel like this is an issue that we don't have to skirt around. We'll have to face this head on simply because this is something that we deal with or face with every single day of our lives. So today, we're going to be talking about adultery, sex, lust, and all other things that encompasses all of these things. Amen? Now, I want us to turn our Bibles for a while to the book of Matthew chapter 5. We're reading from verses 27 to 32. This is Jesus saying, "You have heard that it was said, 'You shall not commit adultery,'" referring to the Old Covenant, the Old Testament. "But I say to you that everyone who looks at a woman with lustful intent has already committed adultery with her in his heart." In verse 29, it says here, "If your right eye causes you to sin, hear it out and throw it away. For it is better that you lose one of your members than your whole body be thrown into hell. And if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. For it is better that you lose one of your members than for your whole body to go to hell." Okay, it says here in verse 27, "You have heard that it was said, 'You shall not commit adultery.'" Together with the fact that we don't really have time to cover everything, and I feel like I don't have to really explain myself in terms of saying, or rather explaining, that adultery is wrong. I preached the same message, something like this, last Friday in our youth service. I asked many of our students, a lot of them are 17 years old, 18, 19, and none of them are married yet. I started asking the ladies and the guys, I told them separately, asking them to raise their hands. I started asking them if it would be fine with any of them if they're going to be married with someone in the future, hopeful that everything's going to be perfect and stuff like that. And then they would realize that their partner or their husband or their wife would cheat on them or cheated on them. And you know what? As much as they were students, they were basically voicing out their protest in that kind of an idea. So meaning to say, adultery in our culture, whether people would say that this is a progressive culture, this is accepted and stuff like that, you know what? You would say that it is quote-unquote accepted because it's happening all around us. But I don't think there's anyone in this room who would want that to happen to them. Because as much as you think that it is prevalent, but when it happens to you, you would realize how painful or how difficult that would be. I just had my car's oil changed. I'm not really into cars. Like many of you, like Engineer Lloyd right here, is really good with stuff. He loves tinkering stuff. And I think this is common among men. You give men tools for their motorcycles, for their cars. They get to tinker and work on their stuff. I'm not that kind of a person. I'd rather have someone do it for me. So you know what? I went there. I started talking to the guy who was doing the oil change. And he was explaining to me, and I'm not sure if it's factual or not, but he started explaining to me that whenever you change oil, you have to make sure that you stick on the same oil for the rest of the duration of your car. I don't know if that's true. Is it something like that? Like you said, if you use synthetic oil, on the first time that you change it, then it has to be synthetic oil all throughout. If you're using fully synthetic oil, then you'll have to be using fully synthetic oil for the entire time, as long as you have the car. So it was like saying you just can't mix and match all of these oils and liquids and fluids that you're putting in your car. He said, because by doing so, it's going to dilute certain chemicals that are actually there that is actually good for your car. I just took his word for what it is. I didn't really study it. But I realized to a certain extent, if you look at the definition of adultery is something like that. Adultery is coming from the Latin word adulterat, which means corrupted. Now, when you say adulterate, it simply means to render something poorer in quality by adding another substance, typically an inferior one. I'm just looking at the technical definition of the word adultery, since that is what we're talking about here today. When you say something is adulterated, it's basically to render something poorer in quality by adding another substance, typically an inferior one. So in that aspect, in that context, it gives us a picture that when you say adultery corrupts a marriage so that it is corrupted or no longer pure. So meaning to say, something that's supposed to be whole, something that's supposed to be beautiful, something that's supposed to be pure has already been corrupted. I'm not saying it's no longer serving its purpose, but what I'm saying is it has already deviated from its original plan. Okay? And you know for a fact that this is the devil's expertise. The devil, Satan, is a destroyer of God's created order. Let me just give you a specific example for us. You know, God made Adam as the head of the human race, for that matter, a representative of the human race. So meaning to say, in the garden, you kind of get a picture that Adam was the head over Eve. Basically represents his wife and the entire creation, for that matter. And that is basically God's created order. But you would come to understand, this is how subtle the devil is. Okay? The manner at which the devil started disrupting God's created order was when he started tempting the couple, he started with Eve. Thereby saying that when he started tempting Eve, it gives us a picture that just by the very design of God, the devil is already disrupting it. Instead of going to Adam, the serpent went to Eve. So I want us to understand that any sin out there has been authored by the devil himself. Now, even in our marriages, for those who are married here, even for those of you who are single, even in the aspect of your purity and holiness, now I want us to understand that the devil is crafty enough to cause you to be tempted and cause you to stumble. But I'm not saying if that happens to us, I don't want us taking the role or taking the stance of Eve and trying to blame the devil as well. My point is, at the end of the day, we are responsible for our actions. Okay? You know, adultery has the potential to destroy any marital relationships out there. Now, let me pull out something that will nail whatever it is that I have said thus far. And what I'm pulling out is a researched fact. It is something that was done through a survey. And it's something that we all need to realize and be alarmed with. Okay, look at this one. Based on a report from the National Commission on the Role of Filipino Women in 2009, that was like a couple of years ago, marital infidelity is one of the major causes of stress among Filipino couples, with about 36% of men and 2% of women engaging in extramarital affairs. Now, I want to see a show of hands for a while. Who am I going to honestly say that this is a sad report? Look, I am not here to single out any of us. My point is, this is something that we have to talk about
And I trust and believe that the Lord Jesus Christ will give us a solution to this one. Amen? 36% of men and 2% of women engage in extramarital affairs. Now, if you're here and you're single, before you check out on all of us married couples, I want you to understand how important this is in your life. Because truth of the matter is, the things that you don't deal in your 20s will haunt you in your 40s. So better yet, maybe you're thinking, okay, how can this be applicable for me? I am not yet married, so adultery is something that is not for me. I tell you what, before it became an adultery issue in the context of marriage, it was a masturbation issue. It was a pornography issue. It was a flirting issue. So at the end of the day, whatever it is that is present in our lives right now are things that we need to deal. If we want to avoid painful consequences in the future, if we want to avoid painful emotional consequences in the future, both to ourselves and our future wife or future husband, then this is something that we have to start talking about as a church in the context of God's Word. It is almost impossible to talk about adultery without us talking about marriage. So in our attempt to talk about adultery here this morning, we'll have to talk about first the beauty of marriage. Married couples, somebody can at least say that marriage is beautiful. Okay? Anyone? Ayaw niyo? Baka mag-away kayo mamaya. Who among you are proud of your partner? Siyempre, di ba? Pakita natin yan. If you're here and you're single, you know, don't believe people saying or telling you, you're gonna get married, so mapreso na ka and stuff like that. You know what? People would say that. These are people coming from a background wherein, you know, they had not quite of a good understanding or experience or history of marriage, for that matter. But I want you to understand, if we do not deviate from God's original purpose and plan for marriages, marriage is something that everyone will totally enjoy. So what is marriage? Allow me to attempt to answer this by looking into two things about marriage. First one is covenant. The other is consummation. I'm going to look at this in two ways, covenant and consummation. I believe this basically encapsulates not in its all entirety as to what marriage is. Let me talk about the first one, covenant. Now, a civil contract is binding between two parties. For example, let's say this is a contract right here between me and Ronel because we are engaging in a business. Let's say I'm leasing his property. I'm starting out a new restaurant. So I wanted to rent out a space in his complex. So the only way to do that is to execute a civil contract. Now, a civil contract is basically binding between two parties. We do this in front of a lawyer, notarized. So when you say civil, basically satisfies the laws of the land. Meaning to say, it's purely legal. It doesn't violate anything. That's why we are executing a contract. That is why we're executing a contract. A contract satisfies the legalities and is recognized by a local municipality, the local city, or the nation itself, or even other nations. Okay? Now, why am I sharing that? That is me talking about something that is civil in terms of something being contractual. Now, what is our perspective of marriage in that sense? I want us to understand this. Civil weddings are marriages performed, recorded, recognized by a government official. Meaning to say, it is entirely legal, it is entirely okay, and absolutely good. So there is nothing wrong with civil marriages. Why? Because it satisfies the laws of the land. It is entirely okay. I'm not here suggesting if someone has had a civil wedding without a church wedding, they're committing a sin. That is not my point. That is totally fine. Now, let me talk now about the biblical worldview of this one. If that is something that is done to satisfy the laws of the land, the Christian understanding of marriage is not just civil, but covenantal. Okay? Meaning to say, contract's totally fine. Civil wedding is totally okay. The biblical worldview of that is that something that is written on contract, we bring it further. If you realize the past how many weeks, this is what we have been talking about. Jesus would always bring things not just higher. So the biblical worldview of this one is that the Christian understanding of marriage is not just civil, it is covenantal. That is why marriage is a covenant. Okay, it is not just something that is done for the sake of having a contract. Allow me to try to explain it for a while. Look at this one. Malachi chapter 2, verse 14, it says here, "The Lord was witness between you and the wife of your youth. She is your companion and your wife by covenant." So look at this one. It says here in verse 14, the first line, "The Lord was witness between you and the wife of your youth." A civil contract involves two persons, but a covenant involves the couple and God himself as a witness. And that is basically the difference between the two of that. What is the difference between a covenant and a contract? There might be quite a number of differences between a contract and a covenant. For example, if I am renting out a space from Ronel, 20,000 pesos for how many square meters? 500 square meters restaurant. Imagine that. Pay him 20,000 a month. Here's the thing with contract. If business is doing good, then I get to pay him my 20,000. If business is doing bad, I might have a hard time paying the 20,000. What if on the sixth month, Ronald comes up to me and tells me, "Hey, Archie, you haven't paid your rent for 3 months now." The problem there is that according to contract, you have to be paying me 20,000 a month. The thing with contract is that you can deem it useless, meaning to say it can be useless once one of the parties do not satisfy what is written in the contract. The thing with a covenant is that if you would want a distinction between a covenant and a contract is basically the word regardless. A covenant still stands regardless of whether both parties fulfill whatever it is that they have there or not. Contract is basically just based on contract. Covenant is way much deeper. That is why I want you to understand this. When God deals with you and me, he deals with us covenantally and not contractually. That is why his love, according to the Bible, is unconditional. God getting into a relationship with us is through a covenant. You know why? Because he knows for a fact that we can never satisfy our end of the contract or our end, our promises to him. That is why he made sure that this is a covenant. Archie, whether you love me or not, I'm going to love you. Whether you do this or not, I'm going to love you. That is why it is unconditional. And that is basically the difference between something that is civil or something that is written in contract and something that is deeper than that, and that is a covenant. In the perspective of marriage, when we say covenantal, it is binding between the male and female and God. Okay, so ladies and gentlemen, by saying all of those things thus far, let me say this, that marriage is sacred because it is a covenant. Therefore, you would come to understand that whatever is sacred is always of utmost importance to God. Which leads us to the next one, which is consummation. Consummation in marriage, okay? I did not say consummation, I said consummation. All right? Now, Genesis chapter 2, verse 24, it says here, "A man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and they shall become one flesh." Now, what do we get in this verse? If you look at this verse right here, the first one talks about the covenant. Genesis chapter 2, verse 24, it says here, "A man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife." That's basically the principle of cleaving. They get married in the altar. After it says here, "And they shall become one flesh." Every time we encounter the word "no" in the Old Testament, it talks about intimate sex. For example, Adam knew his wife Eve. It simply means to say that Adam had sexual relationship with his wife Eve. Okay, specifically in the Old Covenant, that's basically how it is explained. Now, the second part, it says here, "And they shall become one flesh." You know, being one flesh here talks about the couple being united through sexual union. You know, I want you to understand that in the same way, whenever we get into a sexual relationship with someone, it is us becoming one flesh with that person. All right? That is why I would rather suggest that it might not be beneficial for you to sleep with different women or with different men. And by the time your husband or your future wife will be ushered to you, There's not much that you can give simply because you've given too many things away. Are you folks with me? That is why this also gives us a picture why it might be dangerous for us to sleep with a prostitute. Simply because if that will be the case, then you will become one flesh with the person. Are you folks catching this? Our problem here is that sometimes we just want the consummation sans the covenant. That is the problem. If we want just the sex without the commitment, then that doesn't make you a man. We cannot want the consummation sans the covenant. Covenant come first. In short, altar muna, bago kama. The altar should come first. That's just how it should be. If we want to do things done in a biblical way, that's basically how it is being taught to us. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 4, let marriage be held in honor among all, and let the marriage bed be undefiled, for God will judge the sexually immoral and the adulterers. Let's talk about this cake for a while. Anyone of you here who loves cakes? I just want to know, kasi baka mamaya ako lang eh. So, anyone who loves ice cream? What's your favorite flavor in ice cream? Pistachio. Wow. This guy's so Western, you know? Let's talk about this cake for a while. You know, if you're here and you love cake, if you hate cake, then you can change that in your imagination with lechon or whatever. You know, as much as you want that, as much as you want to eat that, it's only for your eyes only, unless you go ahead and purchase it. So at the end of the day, we have to commit first into a covenant before the consummation. In short, pakasal muna tayo bago makipag-sex. Sinabi ko yun with a smile, ha? Our culture tells us that it's fine for us to just live in with someone. You know what? If we would want to live in with someone, I think the first question there is, for what reason? I mean, on what grounds? Is it because there's no money for marriage and stuff like that? Alam niyo po, huwag po kayong matakot magpakasal. Kasi po, minsan iniisip natin, kasi yung kasal ngayon, lahat bongga na, baka kasi yung reference yun ng kasal, kasal ni Dingdong Dantes tsaka Marian Rivera. Yung cake nila, 5 million pesos, hindi naman po kailangan ganun yung kasal. I'm gonna officiate a wedding with 17 guests, including myself. I tell you what, it's going to be a wonderful, intimate wedding. I'm just talking about a couple who wanna stand before God and bring their relationship to the next level. I'm not saying that you don't have to do that, but I'm telling you, if cost is prohibitive, it doesn't have to be costly. You folks get what I mean? At the end of the day, what is important here is our desire to commit. That way, if we are in a relationship, and you feel like you want to bring this relationship to the next level, to be in a marriage relationship with someone, the truth of the matter is, we pray about it, I don't think there's going to be any hindrance to that. Let me just proceed. In verse 20, it says here, but I say to you that everyone who looks at a woman with lustful intent has already committed adultery with her in his heart. Now look at this one. Let me just stop there for a while. Remember last week, he said, this is the act of murder and you're liable to judgment if you do that. But if you're angry with your brother, it doesn't even say angry for the right reason. If you're angry with your brother, you're liable to judgment. So in the same way, it says here, hey, if you're here and you're a single professional, you're a student, don't think the message here is only for married couples. It says here, the moment you look at a woman with lustful intent, let me just change it a little bit, if it's fine with everyone. If you look at a man with lustful intent, fantasizing in your mind, then you've already committed adultery with him or her in your heart. You know, sometimes we think sin is just the conduct. But folks, let me tell you something. Sin is not just conduct. Sin also involves the desire. So sin basically encapsulates both conduct and desire. Meaning to say, if that is Ronel's phone right there, it would be a sin for me to steal his phone. But I want you to understand this. If his phone is right there and I don't do the act of stealing it, but I keep looking at it, I covet it, I tell you what, at the end of the day, I have already sinned. So it's both desire, attitude, and conduct. At the end of the day, we have all fallen on this one. I like what Grant Richardson said. He said, it is not wrong to notice the physical beauty of a woman. Let me just stop there for a while. Who am I seated beside a beautiful woman? Folks, listen. Let me just put this in the right perspective. I hope I'm not appearing like as if I'm punching you in the gut with all of this. But what I want us to understand here is the very heart of God regarding this one. Why? Because this is something that is sacred. It says here, it is not wrong to notice the physical beauty of a woman, but it is wrong to take her to bed in our minds. Fantasizing immorality is sinful, just as overt immorality is sinful. On a practical perspective, here's what I want to tell everyone. It is the second look that is the killer. What is my point? Everyone, iba po ang tingin sa titig. Lahi ang tanaw sa tutok. I would observe women because I have eyes. Whether that's on an escalator, elevator, driving my car. I'm not blind. I have eyes. That's why I get to see people around me. You get to see people around you. Iba po ang tingin sa titig. But the moment I started stopping and keep looking, what happens could be I could be undressing the woman in my mind. So the practical side of this is very simple. You've seen something, what do? Then just bounce somewhere else. This is not just an issue for men, this is also an issue for women. Who's most affected when Justin Bieber canceled his Philippine concert? When we fantasize relationship, Christian women, think through this for a while, specifically single ones. Your Monday until Sunday, your Sunday until Saturday, assess this for a while. How much of those time allotted to you in a given week is utilized fantasizing relationship with someone? Well, I'm not saying your relationship is not something that we have to pray for, believe God for. Absolutely. I'm not saying that we have to be allergic to relationship. Do you folks know Joshua Harris is even, to a certain extent, retracting his words in his former books? My heart is not for you to tumandang dalaga. That is not my point. I want to see women enjoying relationship with their future husbands. But I think we just have to strike a balance in all of these things. Because at the end of the day, if a relationship is based on lust, it will not last. Again, it is covenantal. It is a commitment. If we are here and we are so engrossed with pornography, let me tell you what, you know, it's not going to do us any good. I have to say that because the Philippines is one of the big consumers of pornographic materials. The thing with Filipinos is that Filipinos look so proper on the outside. Externally, we look mahinhin, we look... Let's take Dumaguete, city of gentle people. Look at statistics and all of these things. pornography will not do us any good. It's not gonna do your wife or your future husband any good. In fact, these things will destroy you. These things will destroy you. Last December, my wife and I were enjoying Netflix. Subscribe on Netflix because I feel like, man, TV series are so good. Movies are so great. You know, I started watching it during the Christmas break. And I finished an entire season of Designated Survivor. You guys know that. Just love watching it. I realized something. In the current generation, in the current stream of movies, rated 13 already involves nudity and stuff like that. It's widely accepted. I feel like I can no longer enjoy the movies that I'm watching because it's full of explicit content. So I have no choice but to unsubscribe to Netflix. Because I feel like it's not going to do me any good. At the end of the day, we have to take care of what comes in. Listen, I'm not saying you unsubscribe to Netflix. I recently just subscribed again for one movie. But my point is that we have to be careful with the things that we are taking in. Matthew chapter 5, verse 29. If your right eye causes you to sin, tear it out and throw it away. For it's better that you lose one of your members than your whole body be thrown in hell. And if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. For it's better that you lose one of your members than that your whole body go into hell. I have to explain this because I don't want us coming here next Sunday with no right eye. Basta pagbalik na to next Sunday, puro pong kulta tanan. You know what? I have to say, huh? Is that an exaggeration? It is an exaggeration. You know what? If there's one thing good with exaggeration, you exaggerate when it comes to sin. Do you folks realize that the Bible tells us that whenever it is sin, we have to cut it off? Jesus here is not saying that you cripple yourself. What he's saying is you learn to control yourself. The way for us to deal with sin is to deal with it radically. We don't pet sin. We don't tell sin, it's okay, you're so cute, I have to stay away from you. No, it's gonna bite you. There has to be an action when it comes to sexual sins. What are we doing? This is only coming from a context of us wanting to honor God. If you're here, I hope you don't do this because Archie says so. No, I hope you do this because your motivation is God loves me so much, He is not deserving of this one. And therefore, I have to make it right before God. And that is basically the context of what Jesus is saying here. That is how we deal with sin. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 18, it says here, flee from sexual immorality. Listen, the strongest Christians out there, it doesn't even say fight sexual immorality. It says flee. Run away from it. Do not linger in that kind of situation. Why? Why couldn't you linger? Why couldn't you hang out a little more? Why? Because you might just change your mind. When my wife tells me, Archie, are you still okay with the content of the internet? I should not be defensive. I'm not saying, huh? Are you accusing me of doing this and doing that? I'm not like that. You know why? Because that is what confidence in the flesh. I do not trust myself. In this area of my life, I do not trust myself. And I think it's better for me not to trust myself, hello? Than to put too much confidence in the flesh and then I find myself falling. We deal with sexual sins in our life with all passion, with all zeal. You guys remember Joseph? How did he deal with sexual sin? I mean, sorry, with temptation. He ran away from that woman. Let me end by giving some practical steps. I know I'm taking too long here. Just some practical steps. First is recognize that you are vulnerable. Tell the person beside you for a while, you're vulnerable. We're vulnerable to temptation. Whenever I go to Manila, I tell my wife where I am. Meditate on Scripture. You folks would realize this. It's easier for you to sin if you don't have God's Word stored in you. Dress thoughtfully. Ladies, I want to tell you something. In the perspective of men, let me give you a tip. Modest is hottest. I mean, if you're wishing to reveal everything, then reveal it to your future husband. Ask for spiritual accountability. And last one, think consequences. If you're here and you're married, always think the consequences. If I do this, what is the implication of this to my kids? If I do this, what is the implication of this to my wife? What is the implication of this to our marriage, to myself? Single women, before you lay down on bed with someone, think about the consequences. What is this thing going to do to me? A 30 minute of pleasure for a lifetime of regret? Let me just end this by bringing it out for all of us. Chastity before marriage and fidelity when married. Purity and holiness. It basically encapsulated that way. In the olden times, if you commit adultery, you're going to be stoned to death. Leviticus chapter 20, verse 10, if a man commits adultery with the wife of his neighbor, both the adulterer and the adulteress shall be put to death. If you're seen committing adultery, they're going to throw rocks on you until you die. Now, let me just end this with this story. You folks remember the story in John chapter 8, where that adulterous woman was caught. And she was on the ground. The Pharisees and the rest of the people started picking up rocks. Why did they pick up rocks? Because the penalty for adultery is stoning to death. So here they are, ready with their rocks. Here comes Jesus, tells them something. Now, this is your Jesus. Now, I want you to think about this for a while. I want you to put yourself in the position of the woman. Let's say you are the woman. You are the adulteress. You are the adulterer. I think it's safe for us to say that we have all committed this sin. Now, we are now in the position of that woman. Now, this is good news now. Here comes Jesus telling everyone, all right, any of you who's without sin, go ahead and cast the first stone. You know what happened? One by one, blug, 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 blug. All rocks were falling on the ground, not on the woman. Why? Because everyone realized, I can't do that because according to him, that which is without sin, go ahead and cast the first stone. So I'll have to leave this place now. They also realized that they were sinners. So here comes the woman, head bowed, head bowed, head bowed, head on the ground. That is what sin does to us. Sin will cause us to be shameful. You can't lift the chin up. You'll feel like you're dirty. You feel like you're filthy. That's what sin does to us. That's what the devil does to you. So here comes Jesus telling the woman, woman, none of them threw stones at you, threw rocks at you. And you folks know what Jesus told her. Jesus told her something. Therefore, then, I do not, everybody say, do not. He says, woman, Archie, Ronel, I do not condemn you. Therefore, go and sin no more. That is what he said. Folks, listen. Aren't you glad that that is what he said, and he didn't say it in a reverse way? He didn't say, woman, go and sin no more, then I will not condemn you. My point here is very simple. God looks at you right now with all the filth, with all the dirt. As a Christian, Jesus looks at you right now and tells you, my son and my daughter, I do not condemn you. That is my love for you. That is my mercy for you. Therefore, in light of that love, in light of that mercy, go ahead out there and sin no more. ang motivation po natin, love ni God. Our motivation is not, I have to do this right so that God will love me. Says who? That is not in the scripture. Bible teaches us He loved us first. In fact, Bible teaches us, the book of Romans tells us what? While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And therefore, we respond by telling God, Lord, here I am, forgiven. I am an adulterer. I have sinned against you. I've looked at a woman with lustful intent. But Lord, I thank you because I am forgiven. Let me just be very clear with that one. I don't pray you're driven to repentance by God's love for you. But we understand this is how much God loves us. And therefore, we go out there and live a life that honors Him. Amen.